What time is it? It's Packard Folks at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardFolksAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Folks at and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Folks at, and I'm poking at your news.
Hello, everybody. This is Packard Pokes at the Midweek Show. This is episode 490. We got a lot of shows under our belt. We got 10 shows away from doing our 500th show. This is going to be another show.
No, really?
Yeah, it'll be our 500th show.
And I lost a bet. I lost a bet. Actually, this was something that one of my relatives shared today on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They're religious, and I haven't talked with this person, so I don't know where their wheels are turning, but I can kind of imagine it. Mm-hmm. U.S. company first to microchip its employees.
I heard about this.
Yeah, it's River Falls, Wisconsin. Starting August 1st, Three Squares Market 32M will be the first company in U.S. to offer implanted microchips to its employees. The decision is completely voluntary. The company is expecting over 50 staff members to be voluntarily chipped. It's partnering with Biohacks, HAX, International, and Johan Osterlund, CEO based out of Sweden. The company designs software for break room markets for American businesses. The chips use the RFID technology to identify electronically stored information. Of course, size of a grain of rice, we all know that. But it is, we foresee the use of the technology to drive everything from making purchases in our office break room market, opening doors, using copy machines, logging into our office computers, unlocking phones, shared business cards, storing medical and health information and used as payment at other RFID terminals. When working with our operators over Europe, we came across a company of chipped employees at Biohacks, and the concept of using RFID with micro markets quickly grew. So basically, you're going to be buying your coffee and using, it's just eliminating a step, right? Or a card.
You know, the thing is, though, and I heard about the way they're going to be implanting this, they want to put it into your finger, you know. And the thing is, I can do all that shit with my finger already, and I don't need a chip in my finger. I just go click.
Why not the back of the hand or something? Because, again, you could just make a pass with your hand. I would think that the finger would be a very sensitive place, even for something the size of a grain of salt. Grain of rice.
Imagine that. Just think for a second. Let's just think for a second. You know how if you get, like, I don't know, let's just say the littlest of splinters under your fingers. Just a little teeny tiny one. Oh, that shit hurts forever, and you can feel it there. That's the worst possible place to put something like that. I don't care how small it is, unless it's the size of an atom. There's no way you're gonna put something like that in my body.
When I hear stuff like this, though, I mean, obviously, in my head, I go back to the whole MOB, you know, Mark of the Beast, and I'm pretty sure that's where my relative was going. But I also can't help but think about Demolition Man, because they lowjack everybody, you know, and it's in the implant in the hand. It's so they can control them, reprogram people. It still makes sense.
Why not put it in the shoulder? That way you're just like,
Oh,
how about the tip of your elbow? This way you have to elbow everybody. You go like, there you go. You want my back? Here's my fucking back.
Really dedicated employees, you know, put them other places, right? Yeah. I want to open doors with my dick. That's what I can hear the office wisecracker right now.
I didn't even think of that. I should have thought of that.
And for the people who think that a woman always opens all the doors and climbing the ladder with her ass and her boobs, yes, I suppose you could go there too.
Yeah. You know, there's some woman out there who's gonna put it right in her breast. You know, it's like, here, just put this right in there. just for, you know, just because.
I seriously, well, no, I would say I seriously doubt that. But then again, no, I'm not going to sit here and actually I'm making jokes. It's expensive, different genders. And I'm sorry. Just, it's a joke. I try not to slut shame. I try not to do anything, you know.
So, yeah,
I want to be sex positive with people who.
I wasn't trying to be sex negative on that either. So. But people, no, but the reality, yeah, just, but the reality is, people put all kinds of weird things in their bodies everywhere. You know this, so.
I'm ready for my. So some guy walks in and drops his shirt. I'm ready for my anal probe, you know. So I'm waiting for the End Times websites to go nuts about this.
Yeah, you know, actually, I was thinking about that today too, and I saw this like, oh yeah, here it comes, the mark of the beast. You know, and the thing is, let's just put this in the context for a second. When credit cards start becoming a more of a thing for more common people, you mean even, you know, people like me with no money.
Yes. Like,
That's going to be the mark of the beast, too, because you got your number right there. Or before that, it was Social Security cards. You know, oh, you're going to be marked for the beast because of that. No.
A lot of preachers would say that was the slippery slope. Because, again, they cried about that. They did. They said, oh, this is going to be the mark, or this is going to be the mark, and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah. Until they actually put the mark right on your forehead. And that's the way the story goes. The mark was supposed to be a number that's written on your forehead. It's not like it's a chip or anything like that. So there, and that, of course, that's the Book of Revelations where that is, if I remember correctly. So they say, yes, that's the only part of the Bible you can actually interpret. So you could interpret it to be anything you want at that point.
Well, that are the crazy fever dreams in the Book of Daniel. That was another place where a lot of prophecy, those air quotes, are came from. And then I remember, why would it be in the right hand or the forehead, right?
Right.
And somebody said, well, what if you don't have hands?
Oh, that's a good question.
Everybody has a forehead, right?
Everybody has a forehead. Exactly.
So,
there you go. We'll put the chip on the forehead. This way I can just headbutt things. What are you doing? I'm paying for my groceries.
So you're banging your head again. Bang here. Yeah.
So that brings the whole song from Quiet Riot, Bang Your Head, to a whole new.
Yes. Anyway. Well, I laugh now, but I remember a time when this would have had me very, very afraid. I do. So, you know.
No, I agree. At one time I would have thought, when I was a Christian, if this had was happening then, I would have thought, yes, about the same thing. So. I don't disparage you on that point, but I mean, it's not a thing though. I mean, we have to realize
no
thing, and we have to, you know, inform others that this is not a thing. Now the RFID chip thing has been coming for a very long time. We put it into our pets and whatnot so we can identify them because they can't talk and they can lose their collars and whatnot. And we don't think anything of it, but if it comes to us, then it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah. I wish that I was chipping all of my cats. We just lost another one within the last month. And I regret not doing that, you know, because I don't know. Yeah. I wish I had.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with the RFID, those things are usually pretty passive. You actually have to be right on top of them for them to know that there's anything there. So it's not like, it's a GPS like, oh, the cat's over there, you know. So,
well, I think that's something else that a lot of believers, anti-believers, think is that this is something that they could track you with and find you with and blah, blah, blah. There's websites where they're actually more realistic about it, I guess you'd say, you know, because they could track a purchase you made.
Right.
You know how
else they can track you? With this, your phone.
Well, I'm glad you explained it because I can't see it. I'm not looking at you.
But, oh, okay.
With your phone. No, exactly. They already can pretty much track your movement. Again, because of your debit card, your phone, it has GPS. It's like, I don't know. I just don't think about it because I don't feel like I have a reason to, but you know, I try not to be paranoid. I would.
The reason why you don't think about it, Connie, because you're rational. So.
Otherwise I'd wrap my head in tinfoil.
Right. Exactly. Right. After you get the number put on, then you go get the eraser.
That's right.
Tom, do you have a story for us tonight?
I don't think I've looked at the news for 2 weeks. I'm just too disheartened and sickened by it. So I've been invited to join the pro-truth movement. And I've decided to become a advocate for truth and justice in the American way. Because everything on the news is terrible.
Is that freedom include tacos and burgers and
no? And I'll have to admit that I don't know a heck of a lot about it quite yet. I heard
you'll let us all know about the conspiracy, right?
Well, no, it's called the pro-truth movement, and basically it's an attempt to get politicians to sign a statement saying that they will uphold the truth and that they will tell the truth.
Yeah, I've heard of this. You know, the chances of that are probably practically very low. But I appreciate the statement they're trying to make to get them to do that. You know.
So do I. And the reason I want to get behind it is, I think especially with Trump and this fake news, everything's fake news, and I think our politicians have gotten into the habit of just assuming that everyone just assumes they're going to lie, so they're going to lie.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think it's high time that we hold them to the fire and say, no, don't lie. We want you to tell the truth. Even if the truth is painful, even if the painful is hurting us in some way, we want to know the truth because then we can deal with the reality rather than you telling us some bullshit story and us trying to just fake it till we make it.
Yeah.
Which how Trump got into office. We tried to fake it till we make it. Now we're burning in hell.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The only thing is, though, I think that some of them, I'm not saying all, that some of them would probably be more willing to lie and to make it sound truthful than to do that because of the fact that they want to get, reelected. Now, I don't expect any Republicans to sign on for anything like that. I would suspect that probably maybe half of the Democrats would. I'm not sure that they all would, but I would suspect maybe half.
Well, part of this is to get everybody, not just politicians and public figures, but to get everyone to sign this. Basically, it's a statement of basically being an adult, to say we want the truth.
I don't want to be an adult.
Going to be more beneficial to us than hearing some cockamamie story that sounds good on paper or sounds good on Fox News. We want to have the truth so we can deal with what's actually coming rather than the bullshit that you say is coming. I know it's a difficult road, but I think it's making a statement, and I think it's just one of these things that if they could get some momentum and enough people to even just be aware of it, I think there'll be some benefit to telling our politicians, we want you to tell the truth. We're going to tell the truth to you, so you tell the truth to us.
Yeah, that would be nice. It'd be in an ideal world, that would be great. I personally see a lot of problems with it as overall. I mean, as far as people who will make it sound like it said earlier, make it sound like they're telling the truth, but they're actually not, it just makes their lies that much more creative or more convincing. But I approve of the attempt, though. I mean, that's just me, though.
And as far as other news, I don't know that I've been so busy. This summer has been kind of crazy. I don't know. I told you guys that I got a beehive several months ago, and I actually got bees a couple of weeks ago, and I'm now officially a beekeeper.
So you've been
as busy as a butterfly watching the bees.
I was gonna say you're busy as a bee. You ruined my joke, Tom. Thank you.
I was gonna say
as busy as a bird with the bees, but I've not been anywhere close to the birds and bees in a while.
Don't birds like to eat bees?
Some probably do, but not too many. Okay. They do sting after all.
Yeah, but once it's in their mouth, it's all over. Okay. Matt, have you got anything for us?
It was actually out of Des Moines, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing good comes out of there.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, yeah. It's about some guy who snapped a 3-month-old puppy's neck because of an argument with his girlfriend over Wi-Fi.
Was he asking for forgiveness? I know the Jews.
I just lost the story now.
To ask for forgiveness. People are just too bizarre. That's the problem with people not accepting the fact that we are animals ourselves, that they think all animals are disposable.
Yeah, officials say Christopher Vogel, 25, got in an argument with his neighbor about Wi-Fi earlier this month. According to police, when things got heated, he killed the puppy and ran off. Guess Vogel has warrants for a number of charges, including criminal mischief and driving with a suspended license.
And being a psychopath.
Yeah.
That poor thing. This is just so much bullshit. I mean, you've lost an argument. You get in an argument with somebody over Wi-Fi or a Wi-Fi password, and you kill something for that because reasons? What's the motivation here?
Yeah, I don't know what the motivation is. It's just some people are just really loose in the head for, you know, to do something like that.
You know, I want to bet you that maybe he had set up an agreement with the neighbors so that he could use their Wi-Fi. You know, some people do that. They will glom onto somebody else's Wi-Fi because, you know, they can, or somebody else is getting the monthly bill and they say, well, I'll give you a little bit on the side,
right?
And then if they don't get paid or whatever, they change the password, which is a pain in the ass depending on how many devices you've got in your house and things like that. I'm willing to bet you probably he didn't pay them or something, and he's like, well, I need access so I can pay some bills, and if you don't, then he probably went and killed their puppy out of revenge.
Well, I don't think this guy looks like a person that pays bills online.
Maybe he's porn. I don't know. Maybe he had to get off.
Maybe. I don't know. You never know about these people.
Maybe he had a hot internet date.
Maybe. But, you know, still. Heck, I was driving home last night, 2 o'clock this morning, and I was going down the main street here by the hospital, and there was a little kitten literally ran across the street, and I stopped. I mean, I came really close on killing this thing, but it went along and booked across the street.
It survived.
Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, I can imagine. I try incredibly hard not to hit animals if they run out in front of me. I will do everything in my power to not hit them. I mean, deer are a little easier to hit only because they have a tendency to dart back and forth in the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not much you can do about a deer, but, you know, like a raccoon or something is different. But
I've seen animals where they're staying on the side of the road, and like you can almost tell that the people just went out of their way just to hit this animal.
Yeah.
That's just disgusting. Matt, can you bring a good, nice, happy story to the show sometime?
Sorry.
It's okay.
There aren't very many happy stories around here anymore. It's all bad stuff. You know,
that's why I stopped watching the news.
Yeah, I mean, or it's Trump doing this or Trump doing that, or, you know, it's...
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokesAt on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. I actually have a funny story here. We talked about people taking selfies. how you should be. Always be aware of your surroundings. Always be careful. Well, this happened earlier this month in July, around July 14th. I just found out about it today, accidentally, that Sermon Birch, a British media artist based in Hong Kong, has been displaying his latest immersive exhibition at the 14th Factory Pop-Up Gallery at Los Angeles. In one room, placed a series of crowns on pedestals and various heights, all very close to each other. That's key here. I think if you're following me so far, I think you know what's going to happen. Now, they were very definition of selfie bait. They were perhaps with no surprise that a woman 2 weeks ago would get a bit too close to the art, mid-selfie, lose her balance, setting the pedestals and crowns crashing in a cascading domino effect. Estimated damage, roughly $200,000. According to Mr. Birch, the video of the incident uploaded to YouTube on Thursday has racked up nearly 300,000 views. And if you get a chance to see this video, there's four rows of columns. And since I'm gonna describe this for the people who are listening to this in audio, there are four columns of all these crowns. They're very tightly packed next to each other, but they're just so far apart. At the far end, one gets bumped and it goes crash. Boom, 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 boom. Very expensive mistake to make.
Well, shouldn't they have it roped off or something?
It's a pop-up exhibition. It's not like you go to a modern museum where they
see
everything all set up. Everything is all cordoned off. Everything has a place for everything. This is just like, okay, I'm just going to put these things up in the space that I have available.
Right.
I think they assumed that toddlers were probably not going to be attending this event, and they forgot that a lot of adult humans are toddlers nowadays. Yeah, that's like dominoes perfectly arranged. I'm looking at I just posted the New York Times version of the story, and I'm like, oh yeah, what could possibly go wrong? It should be a meme.
Yeah, exactly. Oh now, there's more to this story. It says, it is possible that it was staged. The video was uploaded by someone who claims to know Mr. Birch, and in the description ends with a plug. The rest of the 14th Factory is one of a kind. Go visit it before it ends in July or a few months before more pieces break.
Oh, they went viral.
Yeah, it went viral. So he got some notoriety on this.
Was going to see this then? I'm sorry. As an artist, that sounds very, you know, maybe like screw the world.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sounds a little suspicious. Now, it does say here, but in an email, Mr. Birch said it was a true accident. Still, he said he would not be putting up signs urging visitors to be careful. We trust people. First mistake. Mr. Birch said crowns are fragile things. They are symbols of power. Perhaps it's ironic and meaningful that they fell, because apparently museum selfies have become a thing and are even encouraged by some museums to draw younger visitors. There are entire blogs dedicated to museum selfies. That's a thing. People get a life.
I just watched the video of it and saw that one aisle fall.
People get a life. Okay. Museums are fun. They're not a place to take a selfie with. I saw this.
It was like people taking pictures in front of monuments. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that, but I mean,
at the bottom of this article that I'm sharing with your story at the from New York Times, it says in these cases, the selfie takers damaged the art. In other cases, the art has damaged the selfie taker. In 2014. An American student on a dare decided to take a photograph of him inside of a 32-ton sculpture in the shape of a vagina at the Tübingen University in Germany. He got stuck. Firefighters got a call to rescue a man stuck in a stone vulva.
Oh yeah, that was a while back.
It says 2014, but it's older than that. Oh, that's funny though. The internet lives forever.
I can't imagine. I'm stuck. Hey, can you come get me out? I'm in a vagina.
Yeah, it was just the firefighter's like, we're going to need 5 gallons of KY. there was relatively recently, and I forget what country it was, but it was two black men who somehow managed to use Super glue as a lubricant.
Well, I'm sorry. I got something in my ear. Hang on a minute.
Needless
all
to say.
All right. Let's try that again, Tom. Did you say super glue as a lubricant?
Yes. Needless to say, it did not get off very well.
I would imagine not. All right, people.
So, this was in a country that's, you know, very anti-gay. So they were having to take these two guys out on a stretcher, you know, attached to one another. I'm surprised they weren't attacked.
Where was this again, Tom?
I don't recall. It was a while ago.
Okay. I was going to say, there's a reason why they call it glue.
Yeah.
And not lubricant.
Well, you know, the heat of the moment. I guess they weren't paying attention.
In the Lego movie, they called it crackle. So yeah, all I can think of is really used to cracking.
The craggle.
Yeah.
The
craggle,
yes.
The craggle, yeah. I mean, can you imagine being an ER doctor and having that come in?
I can't even. I'm looking at that story. I remember seeing this story a while back. I just like, okay, yeah, this guy is like a stupid. No, but you're right. It's the stone vagina in Germany. It just looks like a stone with a big crack in it, and they called it a vagina. Okay, that's fine. Whatever, dude. If you want to go in there, lose some weight first. I'm just the only time they want you to.
That's why Winnie the Pooh. Remember when he ate himself into his hole?
Yeah. He ate himself into the hole.
But I'm bummed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
I was trying to find that story, but apparently there's a few stories very similar. Couples admitted to ER after mistaking glue for lube.
Oh God.
How do you? Hey,
don't store your lube and your super glue in the same compartment in your bedroom. Super glue has no place in the bedroom. No. I don't understand.
I was gonna say if I could just hear the conversation, they go to put it under the. Are you sure this lubrication is okay? It feels a little sticky. I mean, stickier. I mean, it's like I can't.
I think just the smell of it.
Stuck.
Yeah, I can't. I can't imagine. You're not going to be able to put your pants on or drive like that.
I'm literally stuck on you. Worst Valentine's Day ever.
Oh no.
That's a good one.
Oh. There you go. Oh, there's a Valentine's card. Put some super glue on the outside. I'm stuck on you.
Put the super glue on the outside.
Question mark?
I can't even. I mean, just sometimes I worry about the human race surviving the next, you know, 20 years with people this stupid. I'm just saying. It's,
we're culling the herd.
Yeah. After a matter of fact, I suppose.
Well, that's the problem with humanity is we no longer cull the herd. We protect stupid people now.
We wrap them in bubble wrap with lots of duct tape. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they do something stupid, we say, you can sue the people who gave you the opportunity to show an idiot you are and get you some money.
Yeah, exactly. There's a Weird Al song based on this. Honestly, there's a Weird Al song based on this.
Yeah! If you stand me up on a date, if you deliver my pizza 30 seconds late,
I sued you again or something like that. And in the way the song goes, I got in the bathtub with my laptop and for some reason it stopped working. You didn't tell me what stopped working when I got in the bathtub. It's like, you didn't put a warning label on it, so I should be able to sue you. You didn't tell me that food was going to be hot when I ate it. So,
well, it's like the $3 million cup of coffee from McDonald's. Yeah. Remember that one?
Yeah. Well, that lady, actually, I heard about this. And actually, that lady got third-degree burns because the coffee maker was actually set too high. So this wasn't just because the fact is that someone just got a little burn and they made $3 million for a little burn. This woman had a lot of surgeries.
Yes, but she put it in her lap. She was holding the cup in her lap.
Yeah.
Well, but she was also elderly. The sad part is, as I remember, because there is actually a documentary on that, and I watched it, and she really didn't recover all of her medical bills. I mean, the lawyers and the courts got the money.
Yeah. Lawyers always get the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's a legal way of stealing. All right. Well, we got to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for came to the live show. We'll be back on Friday at 9 p.m. Central Time.
I will not be here, though.
Tom won't be here.
I will be in St. Louis at Gateway to Reason.
Gateway to Reason.
Yes.
Yes. Tom, you know what you could do for Friday?
I know what I could do.
You know what you could do for Friday is if you're going to, I'm sure, is the conference going to be kind of winding down around 9 o'clock? Or, I mean, they're not going to be like.
No, it's going to be going until they don't want, it'll wind down on Sunday.
Well, I mean, for the day, not for the whole weekend, you goofball.
No, really. There's so much packed into this weekend. I'm not even sure there's a VIP event on Friday night, which I'm going to sneak into.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, try to send us some video or something to the.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and if you can, just send it. We'll just do a live broadcast with you over Google Plus.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. We'll just say, hey, we'll just do a thing, you know. Try to get you in if we can.
If I get Wi-Fi and if I haven't had too much to drink.
Yes.
I probably won't drink at all.
No.
That's the one advantage of being cheap and poor is I don't get drunk in public too often because it's too expensive.
You're not gonna be Ron White, are you? I was like, I'm not drunk in public. I was drunk in a bar. The guy threw me out in public.
Yeah.
All right, well, see you on Friday. Good night, everybody.
Good night.